Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this beautiful Lord's Day. Thank you for watching over us, for bringing us through another week. We pray now that as we stand on the threshold of this new week, that we might dare to trust you, that we might allow you to fill us to overflowing with your love and grace, that we might go out to change our world. Meet with us now and have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing "Till the Storm Passes By" and the words will be on the screen.
Affirmation of faith this morning is the Apostles' Creed. I invite you to join with me as we unite our hearts and voices in this historic confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. May be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God? David? Thank you. Jessica's dad's sister, her aunt Brenda, will be taken off life support today. Remember the family in your prayers. Remember all of those people this past week who were in the paths of the storm. Now that the storm has passed by, they've got to go through all the recovery efforts. So do remember them. I haven't talked with Wanda since yesterday, but as of yesterday, she was doing great. In fact, I'm going to have to get my act together because she's talking about being in the office some tomorrow and throughout this week. That'll be the first time since January, so do keep her in your prayers and do keep me in your prayers. But she is doing well. She said she's able to go longer and longer without the collar. She doesn't feel nearly as bad after she's had it off for a while. So she's doing great, but continue to keep her in your prayers. They're still running some tests and checking on things and making sure that everything's as good as it can be. So do pray for her. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for a new day and a new week. We thank you, Lord, that we have discovered again that your grace is sufficient to get us through whatever life brings our way. We realize that in this week, there have been those who have died, those who have been shot and stabbed, those who have suffered the ravages of nature, the ravages of human nature. Just this morning, we heard about over 150 people killed in Pakistan from an exploding fuel tanker. This past week, we saw seven of our sailors die aboard their ship. We continue to hear about the violence in the Mideast. Our Heavenly Father, we just pray today that you would help us, that we might seek to reach out in love and compassion, to let people know that our God is a God of love and mercy and forgiveness. We pray, Lord, that you would help all of our leaders, local, state, nation, world, we pray that your Holy Spirit would minister to them today, that they might realize, Lord, it's not just about money, it's not just about power, it's not just about political parties. It's about them having the opportunity and the obligation to follow your will and your leading, to make our world all that it could be for you. Thank you, Lord. We would remember our troops today and their families. Watch over them, Lord. May they feel your presence and your peace. We pray that you'd be with those today who are in the hospital, those who are going through tests and procedures, those who are recuperating, those in hospice, Lord, who know that their days are numbered. Be with their families during this difficult time. It doesn't matter how much time we have to say goodbye, we're never ready when the time comes. We pray today that you'd be with your church. That's church with a capital C. We're not talking about a particular denomination or a particular religion. Lord, we're talking about the church that you sent your son to live and to die and to rise again for. We're talking about the church that you empowered with your Holy Spirit. We just pray that we might do our part here at 801 North Kingston Avenue in Rockwood, Tennessee. We pray, Lord, that as you've been with your people here down through the years, you might continue to use us to build your kingdom. Lord, if half the churches in our nation did half of the work that you've called them to do, a lot of the situations that we face today would not exist. May we be faithful, all of us, standing side by side, shoulder to shoulder, lifting the wonderful name of Jesus together. We ask it in his precious name. We ask it in the name of that one who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all of your many wonderful blessings to us. We pray now that you'd bless these our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen. God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, all body heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
remain standing while we sing, God will take care of you.
Standing for the reading of the gospel.
This morning's scripture is Matthew 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately after this, Jesus made his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. Afterward, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from the land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came to them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him, they screamed in terror, thinking he was a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. "It's all right," he said. "I am here. Don't be afraid." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you by walking on water." "All right, come," Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he looked around at the high waves, he was terrified and began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Instantly, Jesus reached out his hand and grabbed him. "You don't have much faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" And when they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Is raging, the billows on.
are tossing high. The sky is o'ershadowed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How canst thou lie asleep? When each moment so madly is threatening a grave in the angry deep. Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in my grief today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Awaken and save, I pray. Torrents of sin and of anguish sweep o'er my sinking soul. And I perish, dear Master. Oh, hasten and take control. Master, the terror is over. The elements sweetly rest. The sun in the calm taken mirror, and heaven's within my breast. Linger, O blessed Redeemer, leave me alone no more. And with joy I shall make the blessed harbor and rest on the blissful shore. The winds and the waves shall obey my will. Peace be still. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea or demons are men of whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where lies the master of ocean and earth and skies. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace, peace, be
I'm sure after this past week, you are aware that we are now officially in hurricane season. And all too often, nature seems to mimic life with storms and devastation. Did you know that a hurricane lifts 60 million tons or more of water into the atmosphere? 60 million tons, which then, as we've seen this past weekend a little bit here, falls back onto the earth as rain. Also, a hurricane generates more power every 10 seconds than all of the power used in the United States in a year. Back in 1970, a hurricane struck Bangladesh. It produced a tidal wave which killed more than 500,000 people. In 1900, in Galveston, Texas, a hurricane created storm surges and storm tides that swept some 6,000 people to their deaths. We get in situations like that, and of course, the first thing we want to do is say, hey, God, you know, I need your help. There was a man who lived by the river, and during a major storm, the river started to rise rapidly. The man was sitting out on his porch, kind of watching it all. The water came up around his house, flooded his whole yard. Pretty soon, a man pulled up in a Jeep, and he hollered at the man on the porch. He said, come on, get in. I'll take you to high ground. The man just sat there, and he said, I'm not worried. God's going to take care of me. Well, the water continued to rise up onto the porch and into the house, and so the man went upstairs, was watching out a window. Pretty soon, a man in a boat came along and pulled right up to the window, and he says, jump in, the water's rising. I'll take you to higher ground. Man said, you go ahead, I'm all right. God's got control of this. Water continued to rise up to the windowsill and in the window. And so the man busted a hole through the roof and climbed up onto the roof and sat there on the peak as the water came up right around his feet. A helicopter flew over and they dropped out a rope ladder to him. And they said, grab a hold of the rope and we'll take you to safety. Man said, no, you go ahead. God's got this. Well, before long, the water washed away the house. The man drowned. When he got to heaven, first thing he did was go talk to God. He said, God, I thought you told me that you were going to protect me. God said, listen, I sent a Jeep and a rowboat and a helicopter. What more did you want? God will watch over us, but a lot of times God expects us to use the resources and the common sense at hand. When I was in high school, I went to a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and they were having a testimony service. One man got up, and he said, I went to the eye doctor today, and the eye doctor told me that I needed glasses. He says, but I ain't going to get no glasses. God's going to heal me. Well, I was a teenager then. At least I had an excuse. But I said, you know, I believe sometimes God uses doctors and doctors' methods to heal us. I don't believe that God's going to do something for us that we could do for ourselves. And sometimes I wonder if God's going to do something for others that we could do. You know, the guy was praying and he said, Lord, all of these people are starving to death. We want you to take care of them. And suddenly the building shook and a big booming voice came down and God said, I've done my part, now it's your turn. Sometimes we wonder, though, about these major storms that come through. I was reading recently, it said, without an occasional hurricane, the world's weather might be even worse. Fierce tropical storms play a vital part in maintaining the heat balance between the tropics and the polar regions. The tropics and subtropics receive more heat from the sun than they lose by radiation to prevent gradual cooling of the poles and scorching of the equatorial regions. Hurricanes help keep the balance. Maybe God ain't so dumb after all. Maybe it's just a natural process in the creation that God got started. George E. Dunn, the former director of the National Hurricane Center in Miami, says, if hurricane control were successful and none were allowed to go through their full life cycle, nature would undoubtedly find some other method of maintaining the heat balance, and this new method might be even more disastrous than a hurricane. Now, looking back at this morning's scripture, we need to remember the context. We've heard the story time and time again, but we need to remember what was going on in that time in their lives. John the Baptist had recently been beheaded. Jesus and the disciples went out into the wilderness with the idea that they were going to have a little bit of time to rest and to get away for a while. And lo and behold, the multitudes followed them. The scriptures tell us that day that Jesus fed 5,000 men plus all of the women and children using just one boy's sack lunch. Now that big day was finally over, and Jesus and the disciples were physically and emotionally exhausted. Jesus needed some solitude so he could pray, so he told the disciples, he said, I want you to go over to the other side of the lake and I'll meet you there, the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Now, it's interesting that it's called a sea because that body of water is only 4.5 miles across and about 7 miles long. But it's a body of water that's prone to some very bad storms. Some 17 years ago, I was on the Sea of Galilee in one of those boats. The waves were tossing and the water was splashing over the front of the boat and getting everybody and everything wet in the process. You see, the Sea of Galilee is located sort of in a bowl. There are hills that surround it on all four sides. And storms very often come over the horizon and they sweep down the hill and across the water, and all of a sudden that calm lake, that calm sea is turned into a tumultuous body of water, often with little or no warning. Let's look at the situation the disciples were in. The scriptures tell us that it was about 3 o'clock in the morning. Consequently, visibility was a problem. It was dark out there. None of them had remembered to bring their flashlights. So here they were out in the middle of the lake. It was cloudy because there was a storm brewing. So there are no stars to follow. They had trouble getting their sense of direction. The wind and the storm were blowing against them, so their sails were useless. Not only did they have to row, but they had to row into the wind, right into the storm, so they weren't making much progress. They're in a storm. They're being tossed to and fro. They were tired. They were frustrated. They were drained, depleted, scared. And probably, truth be told, they were probably a little bit ticked at Jesus, because he's the one that sent them out there in the first place. I don't know about you, but I've had times when I've been in deep water, felt like storms of one kind or another were pushing me all around. We've all had those. We were tired and frustrated. Where is Jesus in the middle of all this anyhow? I think we can relate with the disciples. Have you often felt that life is about to overwhelm you? Look what happened. Jesus came to them right in the middle of the storm, right in the middle of the chaos, walking on the water. Now, that's something the disciples probably hadn't seen before. In fact, Peter, bless his heart, Peter said, Lord, if that's really you, why don't you tell me to come walking to you on the water? Jesus smiled and said, okay, come on. All the disciples looked at Peter. Peter swallowed. He couldn't back down. So he stepped over the side of the boat and walked on the water. for a minute or two. He was doing great. Things were going fine. Until he got to looking around. Water's probably 60 feet deep here. I'm less than 6 feet tall. I'm in trouble. And the scripture tells us that he started to sink. You know, very often we tend to point a finger at Peter and say, look at him, he didn't have much faith. But let me call to your attention the fact that Peter was the only one that got out of the boat. After that day, Peter was the only one who could say, I walked on the water. Not very long, not very far, but I did. None of the others could say that. William Barclay says the following about the situation. He says, see what happened? Immediately when Jesus saw his friends in trouble, his own problems were set aside. The moment for prayer was past. The time for action had come. He forgot himself and went to the help of his friends. That is the very essence of Jesus. The cry of human need to him surpassed all other claims. His friends needed him. He must go. What happened, we don't know, and we'll never know. The story is cloaked in mystery, which defies explanation. What we do know is that he came to them and their storm became a calm. With him beside them, nothing mattered anymore. It's simply a fact of life, a fact which has been proved by countless thousands of men and women in every generation, that when Jesus is there, the storm becomes a calm, the tumult becomes a peace, and the undoable becomes doable. The unbearable becomes bearable, and people pass the breaking point and do not break. To walk with Jesus will be for us also the conquest of the storm. With this in mind, let's look briefly at three very important lessons that come to us from this dramatic account in Matthew 14. Sometimes, and I really don't need to say this, sometimes in life, the wind and tide are against us. You know that, don't you? Life has storms. We have mountains and valleys, sunny days and stormy days. Often we're tossed about by the winds of life. We feel that we're being swept under by life's flood tides. With the high cost of living, crime, the pressures of children, grandchildren, parents, fear, anxieties, depression, heartaches, grief, and frustration, we feel like we are about to sink. And friends, let me tell you, this happens to everybody. Just this past week, I was reading that 1,700 ministers leave the ministry every month. 1,700 per month. Sometimes it just becomes too much. Secondly, when we're rowing against the wind and he's rowing against the wind situations, Jesus comes to us in special ways. If we were to name the moments in which we felt God the closest to us, very few would mention a worship service or some joyous event. For most, it would be a time when we were rowing against the wind during trial, trouble, sorrow, or grief. Ellen was a typical 16-year-old girl. She was a good student. She was active in her church youth group. One evening, she and her mother were sitting in the family room together, laughing and talking together. Suddenly, her legs went numb. Then her arms went numb. Then she fell backward, unconscious. The mother called an ambulance and she was rushed to the hospital. All night brain surgery was performed, but she died the next day. When the pastor talked with the parents, they told him, God has given us strength we didn't know we could have. God is holding us up and seeing us through this. We're all right. Don't worry about us because God is with us. We can feel him closer than our own breath. You remember, Paul was told when he prayed to be released from his thorns in the flesh, he was told, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. A little while ago, we prayed, give us this day our daily bread. Imagine if you got a phone call saying you just won the grand prize. You have won bread for the next 10 years, a loaf a day. The truck will be delivering it all tomorrow morning. Where do you want it? To get 10 years worth of bread all at once would probably be a disaster for most of us, unless we had connections with the food pantry. And that'd even be kind of rough on them. But God doesn't promise to give us all the grace and strength and everything we need all at once. He says when you need it, you'll have it. Your daily strength, your daily bread, your daily peace, your daily faith and trust, it'll come then. We've heard a lot about storms lately. A number of years ago, a terrible storm swept across the Atlantic Ocean. Just off the coast of England, there was a ship that was fighting the wind and the waves, and eventually the ship was pushed onto the rocks and started to sink. Night fell and the storm increased. Residents along the shore that had been watching the floundering ship out there lit fires along the shore and waited to see if there was anything they could do to help. Finally, a big lifeboat came and they launched it out into the waves and they rowed with all of their might. Finally, the lifeboat returned full of passengers, almost to the point of sinking. As the crowd on shore gathered around the lifeboat to help the passengers get off, one of the men said, "We rescued everybody except one man. Our strength was gone. The lifeboat was full. If we had tried to rescue that one more, the sea would have killed us all." John Holden spoke up to the crowd and he said, "These men have done all they could. They rescued everybody but one man." He said, "Who is willing to go with me to rescue that last man on the ship?" 6 men stepped forward. John Holden's mother ran up and threw her arms around his neck and said, John, please don't go. Please don't go. The ocean took your father's life. And 2 years ago, your brother William went to sea, and we've never seen him since. And I'm sure the sea has claimed his life as well. You're all I have left. Who will care for me if the sea claims your life too?" John took those arms that had held him as a baby, took them from around his neck, and he gently pushed his mother aside and said, "A man is drowning out there and I must go, mother. If the sea takes my life, God will take care of you." With that, he stepped into the lifeboat and they pushed off. They rowed against the wind and the waves with all of their might. As they got to the wreck, they found that one last man barely alive as the waves were sweeping over him and the ship was continuing to settle into the water. He was holding on to the mast. They managed to get a hold of him and pull him into the boat. They strained on the oars with all their might and headed back toward shore. As the boat neared the shore, someone shouted out to them and said, "Did you get the man?" John Horton answered, "Yes, we did. We've rescued him. Tell my mother that it is my brother William." When we're rowing against the wind, God comes in special ways to give us strength and help and hope. And finally, number three, when we keep our eyes on Jesus, we can do incredible things. But if we take our eyes off him, Peter, what's going to happen? Peter smiles a little bit and says, if we take our eyes off him, we will sink. A father took his little daughter to see the movie Snow White. After the movie, they were talking to a friend, and the friend turned to the little girl and he said, were you scared when that big old witch came in? Little girl smiled and said, no. I didn't look at the witch. When she came in, I just looked at my father. So it is with us. When we keep our eyes on the Father, we can do and endure whatever comes our way. We need to get our eyes off the politicians, off the preacher, off other people, off the circumstances all around us, and get our eyes on Jesus. God can help us through all of our storms if we just focus on him. Heavenly Father, this morning, we pray that you would focus our eyes and minds and hearts on Jesus Christ, on your kingdom. Remind us that this life is just a speed bump in eternity. The best is yet to come. Help us, Lord, day by day that we might trust you, that we might realize nothing is going to happen to us that us and God together can't handle, that we might realize that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We might realize that you are with us always, no matter what, no matter who. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand with us as we sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
So are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Death into life and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more
upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tend. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Now may you leave this place to go out these doors into the world with its sunshine and with its storms, knowing that no matter what may happen out there, the Master of the sea, the Master of the universe is with you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.